Bears Roundtable is powered by Xfinity.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Chicago Bears Roundtable here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak, along with my broadcast partner, Tom Thayer, from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, along with our special guest, Alex Brown, the man I call AB, one of the best defensive ends the Bears have had here in a long while. 43 and a half career sacks. I think he can remember every single one of them.
Absolutely.
As could Larry Mayer, who's got a mind like a steel trap. That's a compliment, by the way, the senior writer of ChicagoBears.com. The game that I'll always remember, fellas, and it came right before he got a big contract extension. Remember?
Best time to have it.
In New York. Listen, if they decided to pull it off the table, he would show four sacks of Kurt Warner in New York in 2004. Unbelievably 11 years ago already.
I know. I'm getting old, man.
11 years ago.
I know. It's a great time to have those plays, right? Jeez, I had already told him no to the contract that they were offering me.
Oh, so I didn't know that
sorry.
Part.
I'm good.
Why'd you have him? Were you having a good day pass rushing? Did you feel that you were really in line with the way they're trying to protect you, or did you fall into one?
I fell into one of them. I really did. I fell into one. I think it was probably the third one. But the other ones, I beat the guy. I beat I can't remember the guy's name. And then I think coming into that game, somebody told me he was hurt. And I was like, no way. Nah, he wasn't hurt. He was 100% healthy.
Right.
But then the next week, he gives up four sacks to Bertrand Berry. So I was like, all right, maybe he was hurt.
So. Hey, listen, 11 years later, nobody's checking those facts. They just see four sacks. True. That's for sure.
Well, you know, I think any defensive lineman, I kind of fast forward here because, you know, we saw the efforts of Lamar Houston last week in San Diego. The toughest thing for an offensive lineman to do is to block a defensive lineman when they know you're passing. You know, and that has to light the eyes of every defensive end. If you're 11 years removed from the game or you're watching a team you enjoy last week, and I thought Lamar did a great job of doing that. But, you know, the same opportunities you've had throughout your career is when they know they're pass blocking, it helps you guys.
Well, that's when you get paid. Those are money downs. It's when you're up by a ton, you know they have to throw the football, and you consider yourself a pass rusher, well, it's time to show up now. And he did that. I mean, I thought he did a great job. He got those two sacks late. I mean, you look in that game, I love Houston, but gosh, he didn't do a whole lot before that. And then those two plays were huge plays in the game, and we needed them really bad to win that game. So I thought he did a great job.
Well, crunch time's the most important. I remember one of my favorite plays that you made was in Tennessee. It's rare that you win a game on a safety.
Yes. Goulier tried to take that away from me, too.
Right.
He did. He tried to take that away. And that was actually right in the middle of that whole contract deal in 04. So I think that was after the Giants game. And then they come back and they're like, Alex, we'll give you this. Nah, that's all right. I'm feeling pretty good now. That's all right. And we go down to Tennessee and that happens. It's like, whoa.
You mentioned about how Ogunleye tried to take it away from him. I remember being in the locker room and interviewing these guys, and they were sitting about this close, and they were good-naturedly, at least I think, going back and forth. Well, no, I got him. No, I got him.
Right.
Well, I got him. And if you watch the tape, they basically both got there at the same time.
Well, you know, that was the era of still shots on the sidelines. Nowadays, you'd go to whatever the devices you're looking at on the sidelines, and you'd be able to
tell.
And
you'll know right there.
Right, right.
We always argued about plays. Though. We argued about who got the sack, who got this play, who got that play. I put up on Instagram the other day a picture of Brett Favre fell down. And myself, Briggs, and Urlacher are running at him, like, just to touch him to get him down because you get the sack. It was unbelievable. But they got the picture of all of us hovering over him. And Favre, you can barely see him because we're over him. It was a great, great picture.
But they still gave the sack to Michael Strahan.
Exactly.
That's the jazz.
That's a good one.
Right.
I like
that's
that
a good one.
That's a good one. Hey, listen, claiming a Hall of Fame quarterback on your resume, it doesn't matter how you did it.
That's right.
You're going to talk about it 20 years from now, right?
That's
right. And when you do public speaking or you go out there, hey, I sacked Brett Favre.
All the big ones.
I mean, remember who who's your big ones?
Oh,
who's on your hook?
My first couple came against Tom Brady. So my first two came against Tom Brady my rookie year. I've gotten Peyton. I got Brett Favre. I got Aaron Rodgers. So all the big dogs I pretty much got.
But a question now to Alex. Is it when you watch football today, you think of the hits that you would have had that would have been legal when you played are not legal today, whether you're going to come and sweep the legs of a quarterback as you're scrambling to him. Is it discouraging to you, or do you have to live with the changing times as watching the game of football?
I think I just have to live with it because that's the way football is. I mean, I think the guys playing today, they have to just, okay, this is what the rules are. Because at some point when I was playing, the guys before me, 10 years before that, were saying, well, that hit was legal when I played. And the game just keeps evolving. And, I mean, I guess it's for the safety of the players, but at some point you have to understand that it's football. And if you don't want to play football, don't play. But this is what it is. It's a dangerous game. I mean, it's a contact sport. I guess that's just football, but I don't like it. That's not the football I grew up with.
You also didn't ever play in a 3-4 system, right?
No.
So is it odd watching the Chicago Bears, first time in franchise history, the last team ever to convert to a 3-4 defense, play 3-4 defense with Vic Fangio?
So different. I mean, you see, it's confusing to quarterbacks, I think, a little more than a 4-3 is, because 4-3, if you're blitzing, the safety's got to move. They have to move. One has to come down, so now you're showing cover 3 or cover 1. But you're in a 3-4, you don't know. There's so many people moving. There's only one more person moving, really. But there's so many different parts. You don't really know where it's coming from. I went down to New Orleans and played, and down there, there was a lot of people moving. And sometimes you could hear the checks that the quarterback are making, and you knew he was going to get smoked on that play. You knew he was checking it the wrong way. He was sliding protection the wrong way. And you're just down in your stance like, oh, boy, you think I'm coming. You're in trouble. So like that, you just know.
What happens if they challenged you at any time in your career saying, all right, Alex, we need you to have more stand-up traits than constantly being in a three-point stance? Mm-hmm. Would you have liked to accept it? Would you have looked for an opportunity to stay in a four-man existence? Mm-hmm. Or would you have liked the challenge to – you know, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, be a two-man guy, a stand-up guy?
Early on in my career, I think I could have done it. I played when I came out of high school. Man, I'm going to put this out there. I was the number one linebacker in the country coming out. So I above LeVar Arrington. So, yes. So I was the number one linebacker coming out. And then I played my first 2 years in college as a linebacker. So yeah. I moved to defensive end my third year in college. And then I began to learn that position.
What was your weight situation then versus?
I was 245.
So that would have been?
I played at 253 here, 255, something like that, when Lovie came. Yeah, and when Coach Jerron was here, I was
a little
285.
Were you really 285?
Oh, my gosh.
285?
They had me. I would eat everything. Well, you think about the defense back then.
Yeah.
It was more Ted Washington, Traylor, B-Rob, and Big Phil. Big Phil and B-Rob were 300 pounds. I come in, I'm 250. They're like, oh, you need to eat. You need to get bigger. So I'm eating. And then one day, Mr. Angelo comes down. He's like, where's all that speed that you had in Florida? It went away when you maybe gained 30 pounds. I was so happy. But it worked for me. It worked for my game because at Florida, we never played the run. Well, we didn't have to. Coach Spurrier, we're up by 21 in the first quarter. Then it's just rushing the quarterback. When I got here and had to gain the weight, it taught me to use my hands. It taught me how to play the run. Then when Coach Smith came in, and then he was all right, let's get down, and now we're going to rush. Well, then I had already kind of built my game up mm-hmm. to play the run, and I knew how to rush a quarterback. So it kind of made me more of a complete defensive end.
Everybody always talks about sacks, and that's important for defensive ends. Mm-hmm. But what impressed me about you is always that you were a complete player, and you did play the run, and you weren't just focused on getting the quarterback. And you mentioned that had to be something that you had to learn right after Florida.
Correct. I had to learn it.
I thought you were very underrated as a run defender.
I thought so, too. One year, actually, I was in an argument with plays behind the line of scrimmage because whether it's a quarterback or a running back, one year I actually led the league in tackles for loss. Led the league, got nothing for it because I only had 6 sacks. It's like, well, if I sack the quarterback for a 2-yard loss or I get the running back for a 5-yard loss, which one's more important?
Well, I think that might have been, and I may be wrong, I think it was 05, but Sports Illustrated gave you All-Pro that year, which is the highest honor you can get as an All-Pro for that particular year.
You know, I love you, and I'm not going to – I love you. I really do. I really do. But 05, that was just another spectacular year I had. It was another year.
I love it, man. You know, if you were only this flamboyant when you're in the locker room before games, man, you'd be the headliner. You'd be the great guy to talk to.
But I think he was, though.
No, he was.
Alex was a go-to guy.
Hey, you know, I talk all the time about the pressures of kids who come in with labels. Mm-hmm. You said you were the number one defensive player in the country, or linebacker in the country at that time coming out of high school. Was there pressures with that, with expectations with that? Or, I mean, how did you handle that as a young man? And the reason I bring it up, I recently read a story that Adrian Wilson wrote about himself to his younger self. He wrote to the younger Adrian Wilson about all the mistakes he made and what the expectation, and I thought it was fascinating. What would you write to yourself?
Oh, man. coming out of high school, I think I broke my foot. That was the best thing to happen to me because I really thought I was bulletproof. I didn't think anything could happen to me. I thought I was the best thing walking, honestly. As far as football went, I thought I was the best athlete. I mean, I was the best athlete to come through my little town. And everything was kind of predicated towards sports. And if it was had anything to do with sports, Alex, I was at the top of it. So me breaking my foot just kind of brought me down to life a little bit. Like, it could be gone in a second. So I didn't want a red shirt. That was one big thing I didn't want, and I did. And that hurt me. Like, I wanted to prove that I was good enough coming right out of high school to play. So, and when I broke my foot, I got a screw in my foot, and I got redshirted, and that kind of brought me down. So just understanding that this could be gone in a blink of an eye. Just understand that. And then, like, play hard all the time, which I thought I did, but playing at Florida, you're playing, Coach Spurrier's going up and down the field, you're playing 80, 85 plays. I don't care who you are. If that first play of the game is, if that's like that 85th play of the game, there's something wrong in there because you're not tired at all. I'm going to give you everything I have. If I have 68%, that's not what I'm going to give you. You know, that's all I have, but I'm going to give you everything I have. So what I would say to my younger self would be, don't take anything for granted, which I don't think I did. So I'd remind myself, don't ever take anything for granted. And this really could be gone in a heartbeat. So I'm telling you, if I had to do it all over again, I might get a little luckier. Like when the quarterback throws a ball and you barely miss it, you know, but you're probably going to get the same thing because I played my butt off. That's it. I loved every second I played my butt off. So you're probably going to get the same 9 years you got out of me.
Now, did you have a chip on your shoulder? I know coming out of the draft you mentioned about giving maximum effort, but there were some questions about you, weren't there? And you went to the fourth round, and I remember thinking, watching you for the years, that I've never seen anyone give so much maximum effort, but were there some questions coming into the draft?
I think there was, and like I mentioned earlier, I mean, I think it was just, we played so many plays. If I'm playing 100%, you're not going to get 100% on the first play like you're going to get on the 85th play, and that's what we were playing. And when Coach Hoke got here, you guys don't know, I absolutely hated Coach Hoke. Like, I couldn't stand him. So when I heard that we were going to hire him here,
because he was my defensive coordinator.
Because he was the one saying, Alex, don't play hard every play. He needs to pick it. What do you mean? I do. I play as hard as I can. So when we were going to hire him here, I went up with Coach Smith.
It's like, oh, no.
We can't do this. What are we doing? We're hiring this guy? We can't. It's like, Alex, you have to get over it. I want to get over it. I just want to hate him. And now, like, I actually called him when Coach Spurrier retired. So when he went to South Carolina, he's at South Carolina now, and I called him. I talked to him. I still talk to him now. I don't hate him. but I think he helped put that chip on my shoulder. Like, I wanted to prove that Miss Angelo didn't make a mistake. Coach Geron, at the time, they didn't make a mistake by picking me.
If I recall, too, you weren't active right away either, were you?
No, my first game.
Oh, my.
That's the only game I missed.
That probably still, to this day,
it bothers
eats
me.
At you
it
like
does.
Nothing else.
I didn't want to miss.
How humiliating was that for you, given how you felt about yourself?
Every player knows it.
I'm telling you.
I mean, I know the game I missed.
Look at him. He's getting bow up on me now.
I absolutely hated it. I'm getting dressed. First game of the year. I'm ready, playing Minnesota down in Champaign. I'm ready to go. So I sit out all my stuff, my shoes, my pants, my socks, sit it all out. I'm ready. Big Fields over there, he's looking at me like, what are you doing? It's like, just getting ready. That's it. Coach Geron walks over. He's like, you're going to be down today. What does that mean? I really don't know what that means. What do you mean? Well, I'm going to be down. You're not dressing. All right. Okay. So, not another word to nobody. Period. I was done. I was like, I'm not talking to anybody. Mike Brown was the only one that came over. Was like, you'll be out there. Don't worry. You just got to be ready. But I ain't say anything. The only day, well, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie, okay? I'm not going to lie. So that game, I really didn't care if we won or lost, all right? Because I'm not out there. I did not care. I was so mad. I wanted to be out there. I want to help us win. I want to be out there. So I didn't dress. 5 games later, B-Rob unfortunately gets in a has a DUI. I get my chance to start. I never look back. So I went from not starting, but that game still bothers me because I played 9 years. I didn't miss a game because of injury. I always have to put that because of injury, you know, because I missed that first game. I wish I could have played 9 years and not miss a game. So another time was the NFC Championship game, 2010. Now everybody's going to hate me for it, but I don't care. I was not cheering for Green Bay, but my gosh, I did not want the Bears to go to the Super Bowl. And they let me go. You let me go and you got better? Nah. I was just, I'm sitting at home like, I am in a between a rock and a hard place right now because I can't stand Green Bay. And the Bears, they got better without me. Like, I don't, okay. I ain't cheer for anything. I just kind of sat there and didn't really care who won or lost. And the Bears unfortunately lost that game, but those are the two games that I would say that I had mixed feelings on.
But you've come a long way because you've said several times "we" about today's team. So you're a Bear.
I am. No,
you're a Bear.
Oh, and I was a Bear those days. I was just a little upset.
But you're a Bear.
But yes, I'm a Bear.
I like hearing you say the "we."
Yeah, I'm a Bear. I am a Bear. I love the Bears. I root for the Bears. I hope they win every game. I hope that one day we can win a Super Bowl. And I've come around. I think I've been real outspoken about Jay and how I feel about him. I think he's playing the best football I've seen him play.
Yep.
I really do. I think he's playing really well. I think he, at this point, I think he is playing winning football. Whereas in the past, I didn't really think so. But I think he's playing winning football now. And he's the reason we're winning. It's not because we're winning by defense. It's not because we're winning by just blowing people off the ball and running the football. It's going through Jay, and I love that.
When you analyze Jay in these last 6 games, for example, what are you seeing from a defending point of view?
He's not making mistakes, and he's come a long way. You look at that San Diego game. He throws that pick 6. OJ would have went in a tank. He threw another one and maybe another one. He come right back down, and he scores.
What about then, this week? You think he took the defensive coordinator by surprise when they score a touchdown, throwing the ball the second play of the game? That's got to mess with the head because now you think of what Jay did against San Diego. Now what can he do against St. Louis? And then, boom, you got an 80-plus-yard touchdown second play of the game.
I think he's just not putting us in a bad position. He's not putting us in a position to lose. He's making the right reads. He's making the right throws. He's – even on the play, I don't know who was wrong on that interception for a touchdown, whether it was Alshon turning the wrong way or whatever, but the ball came out on time. But Jay responded perfect to it. On the other plays, you look at Langford making a big play. Jay's making conservative throws or, like, short throws in there. He putting the ball in the athlete's hands and letting them make plays for him. So that's the big throw he made to the big tight end.
Zach Miller.
He makes a throw to Zach. Zach makes a heck of a catch. But he's wide open, you know? And Jay puts it right there. And it's just – like, he's playing winning football, and I really like it.
I like the play where the Bears were within their own 10-yard line, I think. They blitzed 2 guys. It was supposed to be a screen. Instead of trying to make something happen, instead of holding the ball out there, he just held the ball and got sacked, and they punted. I mean, right there, that tells me that he's protecting the ball and he gets it.
He's just learning. Like, a couple years ago, it was Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall runs a 20-yard end route. And you see it in preseason. He's covered from the front and the back and just tries to fit it in there. 8 games into the season, you see the same thing. Like, you don't see that now. You actually see him. That situation comes up. He goes to his second and third reader. Yeah. He goes to something else. He don't try to fit that ball in there. And that's growing as a player. And this is late in his career, too, and he's still growing as a football player.
You know, you got to give credit to Adam Gase, because if you go back to the San Diego game when he did throw the interception, he goes to the sideline and has a professional conversation with the coaches and how to correct it. Mm-hmm. It's not like some of the reflections you see of a quarterback that's so shaken he doesn't know who to talk to. Mm-hmm. And you go and you get it corrected. Get the understanding, I still have a lot of confidence, and then they throw a 9 route to Alshon the next play. I mean, that shows a lot of confidence from receiver coach, quarterback coach, everybody involved in that play.
How about Langford? Gotta talk about him.
He's
that little kid, man.
Sharp, man.
He's coming as a rookie, and I mean, those shoes with Forte goes out, and now you gotta come in, and he ain't miss a beat.
No.
I love Forte. I think Forte is one of the most dynamic running backs to play here. I know it's Chicago with Gail Sayers and Walter Payton, but
we got to say about Kadeem Carey, too. Because when Kadeem Carey gets his opportunity, he's made the most of it.
Yes.
He's physical. He's got the small tackle target that you talked about. And he concludes everything with enthusiasm. I remember he took a hit the other night in the game. He popped to his feet.
he got in the eyes of the defender going.
A guy that big.
TJ
physical. You know, that's great. He has to be physical. He has to be really physical for you to say that little guy's physical.
Right.
You know, he is. He's a tough cat.
The thing I didn't realize about Langford, though, going back to him, is how fast he is. I mean, he gets around the edge and he's gone.
I mean, he's running back in the draft this year, right?
Yeah.
He, and I didn't realize that. He can fly.
Yeah, he can fly.
They did a number on that Rams team, man.
Yeah.
Gosh,
wouldn't it be fun to run fast enough to look up at this screen to see who's chasing?
Exactly.
Like Zach Miller did it earlier. These players now in the modern era, they can look at those scoreboards.
Yeah, did it in the Super Bowl.
He did.
And almost got him caught by Matt Giordano. Yes. Just barely.
I'm sure you've done it before, right? No? No breakaway
touchdowns? No, my high school didn't have a big Megatron. No.
All right, we could talk to you literally for a couple of hours. You're that entertaining, and you're that opinionated, and you're that vocal. It's great to hear. Great to see you. That's Alex Brown, Bears defensive end, Florida Gator.
That's right.
Larry Mayer, a senior writer from ChicagoBears.com for Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks so much for watching Chicago Bears Roundtable.